You know, if we were to think about this, if every time the devil send our way a disease, if we send it right back to him and command it to attach itself to him, to the devil, he would think twice before sending any sickness our way. You with me? The power to do things is on the name of Jesus. You with me, right? So if the devil sends arthritis your way, command the spirit of arthritis to go back to the devil and cling and attach itself to him. The devil would be limping around. Are you with me here? If high blood pressure is the case, send the high blood pressure right to him. He would have a heart attack every other day. Are you with me here? It does not belong in our bodies. End of story. I don't want it. End of story. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit, not a closet of sickness. So I will not take it. Go back to the devil where you belong. Glory to God. Well, for those of you who were not here Sunday night, it would be nice if you get a copy of that CD. Sunday night, I preached about expectations. This morning, the title of my meditation is a very simple title. Your miracle is awaiting for you. And this morning, I want to start by saying this. Your miracle is going to show up. I believe that many of us fail to receive our miracle in due time because of our attitude. So Sunday night I spoke about expectation. This morning I want to speak about attitude. Our attitude towards something can and will many times either help or prevent us from benefiting. And I'll even go a step further by saying our attitudes towards miracles, our attitude towards the things of God can and will either prevent or enable us to get or lose the miracles we are expecting from God. You may be thinking, what do you mean our attitude? In the beginning of this service, I ask you to turn off the religious spirit. You know, that mindset that Naaman had. That boy had a bad attitude. Y'all remember Naaman? Yes. The commander of the Syrian army? Yes. He comes into Israel. He does a raid. He takes captive a whole truckload of kids. And there's this little girl. Historians say she should be somewhere around 8 or 9 years old, that now is out of her country, working as a slave, but that girl had a sweet attitude. Despite of the fact that this weasel, who mostly like killed her parents, took her in as a slave, she still used to call him father. And Lord. This fella, Naaman, was the top dog in Syria. After the king, he was the second man in command. He's the chief of the armies. But he was a leprous man. Whole body covered with leprosy, which didn't have cure 4,000 years ago. Well, 3,500 years ago. The attitude of that child was so sweet. She said, "Alas, my master," some translation will say, "my father, would be in Israel. the man of God would heal him. You follow me so far, right? The sweet attitude of this child. She did not look around to the circumstances, to her condition. I was a free girl, now I'm a slave in this uncircumcised house. Why should I care about this? I wish you would die. No. It was the opposite. Alas, my master would be in Israel. The man of God would heal him. So he goes to the king and said, hey, I've got that little slave girl in my house. She said that there's some man of God in Israel that can heal me. The king immediately wrote a letter, and devoid of understanding like the unbelievers are, he sent the letter for the king of Israel. Hey, I'm sending your name and cure him. When the king of Israel got the letter, he teared on his clothes. He gets mad and says, see, watch how this man is looking for an occasion to fight me. What a divide of understanding. So the prophet of God, Elisha, not Elijah, Elisha, heard about it. The king was mad and tearing his clothes because somebody was sent for him to heal him. He sent a message to the king, what is the matter with you? We all know that you can do nothing. You can't help yourself. Send the man to me. Here's where the bad attitude comes. He comes to the house of Elisha. And Elisha didn't even peep through the window to see how he looks like. Elisha called Gehazi, his servant, and say, go tell him to go into the Jordan and dip himself 7 times and he shall be healed. That was the instruction from God. And here where's the thing get bad. The Bible said that Naaman was angry. Is not the rivers in Syria much better than this muddy Jordan? What is wrong with this guy? I made all this sacrifice to come all the way down here, and you tell me to go and dip in this ugly, stinking, muddy Jordan? I was expecting that he would have come out here and flip upside down and do some gigs and this and that and the other and call upon his God and fire from heaven and kaboom! I got saved. Bad attitude. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Bad attitude.
That's right.
And the Bible says that he got so mad that he goes back in a rage. Another one of his servants said, my father, listen to me, please. If the prophet had asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you do it? Yes. Well, now, we are already here. Doesn't hurt. Well, what can happen? You're going to moor the river. And the Bible said that he was persuaded by that servant. Isn't that interesting that people with bad attitude always have folks with good attitude around them? Did you notice that? Two servants, the little girl and now this fellow going with him. All right, he goes on the first time. See, nothing happened. Go again. He goes the second, the third, and the fourth time, the fifth time. I told you! I imagine the boy said, my father, he said 7 times. You're on the fifth. Oh. He goes on the sixth time. On the seventh time, he goes. When he comes out, the Bible says that his skin was as good as the skin of a child. When his attitude changed about his miracle, the miracle came through. Are y'all following me so far? When his attitude changed about the man of God, the words of the man of God came through. You're still with me, right? Well, let me tell you this morning. If you let go of your thoughts and the way that you expected God to heal you this morning, I am telling you as the man of God that your miracle will come through before you make home.
Thank you, Jesus.
Y'all following me, huh?
Yes.
One may say, well, this is the Old Testament stuff. No, it's not. Brother Harry, may I have Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Give me the backslide translation, please, so everybody can understand. Another case of attitude. One day, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple for prayer meeting. What time was the prayer meeting? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Nobody was complaining about the time of the prayer meeting. Can I have an amen here? Today we have prayer meet on Wednesday, and we have a handful of people because everybody is busy watching TV. You're following me so far, right? But let it be. Verse 2. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth. Let's examine this character here. Naaman was a rich guy covered with leper, right? With a bad attitude. Now this fellow here, he was crippled from birth, being carried up. In other words, you cannot move by yourself. You are depending on somebody to carry you to church. You are with me so far, right? Every day he was sat down at the temple gate. You know how nice it is to be at the temple gate at 80, 90, 100 degrees every day? It's just stacking up against him. Are y'all with me here? You're crippled. You have no locomotion. Somebody has to carry you. And you have to be on the hot sun. He goes on to say, he was placed on the one named Beautiful to beg from those going into the temple. Crippled, carried by other people. And where he was placed? On the gate called Beautiful. Why would you have an ugly thing stand up the gate, at the Beautiful gate? Are you with me? Why would you have an ugly man crippled that had to be carried on every day to be on the Beautiful gate? Because what may be ugly to man does not necessarily is ugly to God.
Amen.
Are you with me so far? He goes on to say, and he was there to beg from those going into the temple. This man had everything to have a bad attitude. You are with me? Listen to verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. When he saw Peter and John. Who were these guys? The big dogs in the kingdom of God. Are you with me here? He asked for a handout. Can you put over there, Brother Harry, the same scripture? Put in the nearly inspired version, please. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He missed it. You got it? You got the men of God coming to the temple, come for asking for money? Dude, what is the matter with you? You could have all the money in the world, they're still a cripple. You see how people's way of thinking can be messed up. If I am at the gate of the temple and I'm a cripple all my life, never walked before, and people have to carry me, and I see Peter and John come, forget about money. I heard that people are walking on your shadow and they are getting healed. Can you heal me? You with me here, right? But you can see how sometimes we've got our way of thinking a little twisted. Watch this. Verse 4. Can we go back? Peter looked straight at him as he did John. Then Peter said, look at us. You know what I love about this scripture? People never went around saying, I am an apostle. I am a prophet, a doctor, reverend. Talk is cheap. You see what I'm saying? Talk is cheap. How do you know a true apostle? He saw the cripple and said, look at me. Or look at us. Listen to verse 4, 5. He you get that? He looked up, not down. He looked up, not around. I'm going somewhere here. Expecting to get something from them. I want to stop here. Attitude. If you came to church this morning expecting to get your healing, I guarantee you this. You will get out of here with something. Look up. Look at me. You will get something today. You are in the presence of God. So instead of having that bad attitude concerning to your miracle today, change the way of thinking. Look up, not around. Look up to God, not at the circumstances. Look up to God, not at what your body is telling you. Because a symptom is not a disease. Look up to God, you're going to get something. Whatever you may be feeling right now does not translate into a disease, because a symptom is not a disease. This fellow here, look up to them. Brother Harry, go back to the backslide translation. He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Listen to verse 6. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. Yes. Typical from a preacher. But what I do have, I give you. Ha! What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. If you remember in the beginning of the service, I came and I just taught you. Remember that? Yeah. What I do have, I give you. I got Jesus. Yeah. Peter and John told that man, walk. I tell each one of you here, be healed. Amen. I tell each one of you here, receive your breakthrough. Amen. This morning. Are we together so far?
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 7 makes it sweet. He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. I didn't pull you up because you're not crippled, but I did hold your hand. And I'm declaring over you today, expect your miracle to come through before the end of this day. The skeptic in us may be asking, but what if it doesn't? Won't I be even more disappointed than before? No. Absolutely not. Why do you say this? I'm challenging you this morning. No more looking backwards. No more looking at What went wrong yesterday? What went wrong this morning? Stop looking backwards. No more looking down in defeat. Stop saying, stop talking, stop professing whatever the doctor says you have. Does anybody listen to me here?
Yes.
When the doctor said, so what? We serve one that is bigger than the doctor.
Amen.
We serve one that has the power to override what the doctor has said. The doctors have told this man that you're crippled. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. You're never going to walk in your whole entire life. Is that right? Nevertheless, there is power in God to override whatever any doctor may have said. No more looking around at what's happening to somebody else. I am challenging you this morning. Let's start looking up, expecting to receive some great miracle today. Look up to God. In an amazing account of biblical miracles, Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. When they came upon this lame man begging for money, Peter stopped and said, "Look up at us." The man, disabled from birth, with nothing to lose, looked up, expecting to receive something from Peter and John. And receive, he did. Huh? Receive, he did. Taking him by the hand, Peter said, "In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." Instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped onto his feet and began to walk for the first time in his life. Let's go to verse 8. He jumped to his feet and walked. The man went into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Your attitude towards to your miracle may be this morning the key determining factor that will help God to fulfill that promise in your life. Look up. Don't look to your body. Look up. Don't look around. Look up. Don't look how your children are doing. How your loved ones are doing, because they're doing bad. Look up. Expecting your miracle. And God will take that expectation into a new level. To the point of having you walking back and forth, dancing and praising His name in His house. Amen. Your miracle is awaiting for you. It's sad to say that many of us haven't been looking up enough lately. We haven't been experiencing anything exciting. So many times we ask, what's the point? Nothing much is happening. I am challenging you, all of you here this morning under the sound of my voice. From this day forward, expect brainstorms. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Good ideas to make money. Brainstorm good ideas to make your life better. Expect breakthroughs. Things you didn't think was possible to happen. Expect it to happen. Expect healings to take place, because your God is good for the money.
Yes, He is.
I'm also challenging you right now. If you have resentment at work, expect forgiveness and administer forgiveness to those who have wronged you. If you have health issues and health challenge, expect your healing to take place before sundown. What if it doesn't happen? Continue to expect. Continue to expect. God is not limited by our clock. Maybe your estranged spouse or family member is giving you a hard time. From this point forth, this morning, expect reconciliation. What? Yeah, expect reconciliation. Be on the lookout for when God's going to touch their heart and they will come to you and reconcile themselves with you. Maybe you feel harshly towards one of your children or all of them. Expect understanding from above. Or if you're in debt, expect financial relief.
Amen.
Expect the answers. Expect opportunities. Expect love. Expect a breakthrough from God. You know, you may not fulfill every one of your dreams, but when the life of expectation begins, your miracle will be closer to you than if you had no expectations. Are you with me here? Remember, folks, we are not cynics. Y'all know what's a cynic, right? A cynic person. Cynics view the world in terms of what it isn't, or what won't work. We are going to view the world, we're going to view our miracle in terms of what it is and what will work. So instead of living our lives on the defense, doubting our potentials, or waiting to be hurt or rejected, or convinced that sickness and tragedy are just around the corner, let's wake up every morning expecting something great, something good, something miraculous to happen in our lives. I'm going to challenge you from this day forth. Start attacking life with a smile, even when you don't feel like smiling. Start attacking life with joy, even when you're sad. Start attacking life with praise, even when you have all the reasons to be crying. Start your day by saying, God is on my side. God is for me, not against me. I'm going to run into good people. I'm going to run into good business today, not the wrong ones. Start your day by saying, doors are going to open, wide open to me, not close. Start your day by declaring, I'm going to be happy and not depressed. I'm going to win, not lose. Start declaring, I'm going to hold up my temper, not lose it. Speak to yourself, I'm going up. I'm looking up. I'm expecting from above, not down. Prophesy to yourself, I am blessed and not cursed on a daily basis. Convince yourself that everything you put your hands to do will succeed, not fail. Declare to yourself on a daily basis from this day forth, I have an invincible spirit today and always. I have a satisfied life, not a defeated one. Start your day by declaring, this day is the day for my miracle. And I am expecting it. Your expectations and your attitude toward the things of God can be the determining factor on your success or on your misery.
Amen.
I'm going to wrap up by showing you Ephesians 3:20. And by showing you this, I want to challenge you to change your way of thinking. It is okay to expect to be overwhelmingly healed. It's okay to expect to be overwhelmingly blessed. It is okay to expect to be overwhelmingly victorious. Because the one who does all this says this, read it with me. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. There is a power at work in you, and the one who works in you, with you, through you, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think. So I'm challenging you, feel free to have a positive, expectant attitude towards your miracle. Because the one that you serve and that is within you is able to do it. You know, we're going to buy this thing on the back here, 38 acres.
Amen.
What for? We're going to buy it. But what for? I'm not going to tell you this because you're not what I am right now. But you know what? I'm expecting this place to become very small in very little time.
Amen.
So you're going to need an auditorium for 1,500, 2,000 people. If y'all don't believe, that's all right. That's all right. But you know what? I have an expectation. A great expectation. Because the one that I serve is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above and beyond what I ask or think. Feel free to have a great expectancy today. Feel free to have a positive attitude on what God can do for you. And please, don't settle for less. Your miracle is just a moment away. God bless you.